Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From Hollywood, California, the Mutual Broadcasting System cordially invites you to 30 minutes of fun. How? Just meet me at Parkey's. Yes, come on along, everybody. Come along to Parkey's Restaurant and say hello to Betty Rose, Sheldon Leonard, Elliot Lewis, Jane Morgan, Alan Reed, Edith Tacter, Harry Zimmerman and his 19 short orders, yours truly, Art Gilmore, and our genial host, the star of our show, Parkey Carkin!
Oh, my. Business is sure be quiet. There's a funny thing why everybody finds plenty of excuses why you don't do no business. Last week they said the reason why business be so quiet is because it was just before Easter. Next week it'll be because it's right after Easter. And after that it'll be quiet because it's raining out. And after it stops raining, the sun comes out, everybody will go to the beach. And before you look around, it'll be before Christmas and you don't do no business then, of course, because people is busy buying presents, you know. And of course, after Christmas, everybody's broke, you see. Then it'll be Easter again, and this is where I came in. Ah, well, I guess if you want to look for excuses, you guys don't be no business, you could find plenty. Oh, here comes Betty Rose. Hello, Betty.
Hi,
Betty. Yeah. Happy Easter to you, Betty. Hey, somebody looks all dressed up.
Thank you. And a happy Easter to you, too, Parkey.
Thank you.
Yes, I went out and I bought myself a new dress for Easter.
Now, look, Betty, if I had a figure like yours, I'd buy a new dress for myself, too.
Didn't you get a new suit or anything, Parkey?
No suit?
Mm-hmm.
Look, Betty, at today's prices, I couldn't afford to buy no new suit.
Oh, isn't it terrible, Parkey?
Sure is.
I can't understand the whole thing. Why should prices be so high and continue to go higher?
Well, it's all because all of us are buying a lot of things, Betty, what we don't need, that's why. Yeah, too many people are throwing away their money on foolish things like eating and sleeping, you see? Oh, pardon you, Betty. I better go up and take this man's order. Yes, sir. Could I get you something to eat?
Oh, no, thanks. I didn't want to eat anything. I just want to use the phone.
Yeah.
Do you have a pay station here?
No, I don't. All I got is that business partner that I use.
It. Well, that'll be all right. Do you mind if I use it?
Huh?
See, I'd like to call up my wife.
Uh-huh.
I've only been married for 3 weeks, and I haven't been home for an hour.
Only married 3 weeks, haven't been home for an hour? Wait until you're after you're married a while, you know. You'll be home for an hour, and then you'll be out for 3 weeks.
Say, you sure it's okay if I use the phone?
Yeah, go ahead. Say, but you won't talk long, will you?
No.
No, you see, this is a restaurant, you know. I don't like to tie up the phone because people, you know, is calling up all the time for reservations, you see. And also they call up to send food out. Don't like to tie up the phone.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
I'll just be a minute.
Yes,
Say, mister, I sure appreciate you letting me use your phone.
That's all right.
I mean, last week I went into that restaurant across the street,
uh-huh.
Wanted to call up my wife, but the owner told me to go to Hello.
Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. This is Walter. How are you, honey?
Where have you been? You were supposed to call me at 10 o'clock this morning, and I've been waiting here like a fool waiting for that phone to ring. You think all I've got to do is just...
Yes, honey. Well, you see, I'm over here at Parkey's Restaurant, and...
Where?
I say I'm in Parkey's Restaurant.
Where?
I say Parkey's. No, that's not the restaurant we always go to. It's that dump across the street from there. Well, what I called up about
my
was...
My mother told me not to marry you. I've got other things to do besides just sit at the phone.
I know, honey, but... look, honey...
We're all out of eggs. I better call up the dairy and tell them to send over 12 dozen or we'll be stuck for the lunch hour.
You say we don't got no eggs?
Mm-mm.
Yes, you better call him up right away. That man is using the front now. I'll tell him to hang up, you know. He's don't be anything important with him. He's only talking to his wife.
Honey?
Say, your pardon you,
listen,
mister.
Listen, honey, will you please be quiet? My wife's trying to tell me something.
Oh, pardon you.
Go ahead, Pups.
Look, what I was going to say...
Well, look, Pups, I wouldn't worry about them doing the alterations on your dress. If they can't do it, you can get somebody else. I know where you can get alterations done very cheap.
Where?
Oh, what's the name of that woman who used to sew for my mother? Mm-hmm. Betsy Ross?
No.
Now, let
look,
me think.
Look,
What was her name again? The woman who used to sew for my mother.
Look, pardon me, mister, if you don't mind. I got to use that phone for my business. It'd be very...
No, just one minute. Look, I asked you if I could use this phone, and you said it was perfectly all right. Now, if you'll only let me talk to my wife without interrupting,
yes.
Maybe I can get through sooner.
Yes, I...
Hello, Pups?
Yeah?
No, I was just talking to the jerk here who owns the place. Hey, Pups, you think your brother's got nerve. You should get the nerve of this guy. First he tells me that I can use the phone, and then he ain't got courtesy enough to let me finish my call.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Pups. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I got a letter from Uncle Arthur, and he said that the children are 5.
Yeah?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What? Well, little Bobby isn't 4 years old, Pups. He's 5.
He's 4.
Look, I'll figure it out for you. There's a year between Jerry and Martha. Then the piano came. And Freddie had his operation. Then they took out the piano.
Boy, what an incision that must have been.
Then Peggy got married. They let Joe out. And right after that, they had the fire. Well, yeah, Pops, it's just like I said. Bobby's 5 years old, not four. You still don't believe me? I'll tell you what I'll do with you. I'll bet you a nickel that Bobby is five and not four. Now, hold the line. I'll figure it out exactly for you. Hey, mister?
Yes?
Have you got a 1943 calendar?
A 1943 calendar? You won't believe this, but I ain't got
it. Gee, ain't you got nothing around this place?
No, and the most thing what I ain't got nothing of is eggs. Would you please mind if I would use my telephone? Honest, I got to make a very important call.
Oh, Pops, yes. I thought I might be able to prove it to you, but I can't get much cooperation out of this schmo here.
Schmo?
Listen, I'll tell you what I'll do, Pops.
My Betty, you better run down to the drugstore in the corner and use the telephone down there to call up for the eggs.
Oh, but Parky, it's pouring outside.
Well, take a cab. Oh, my Betty, if I only had a 1943 calendar, I could have settled the whole argument with his wife. Maybe he would have hung up there.
Short orders playing Easter Parade. We'll be back with Parky in just a moment. By presidential decree, the month of April has been designated as Cancer Control Month. Since the American Cancer Society was organized in 1913, its fight to control this disease in the United States has been underwritten by your voluntary contributions, which finance its education, its service, and research programs with considerable success. Now, however, there is urgent need for an expanded program. And the greatest effort must be made to achieve the goal of $16,042,000, which has been set for the April campaign. The money will be used for the purpose of accelerating the program of education in vital, life-saving information on cancer. It will finance the Society's service program and make it possible to carry on research work in many fields. Of the funds collected, 40% go to the National Fund, and the remaining 60% remain in the state. It is of the utmost importance that each of us supports this program by giving generously to the April campaign. So remember April and the American Cancer Society. Keep up the fight against cancer for your own good and the good of all of your fellow men.
You know, Betty, I think it would be a big shame what you got for to run down to the drugstore every time we got to make a telephone call just because that guy is tying up our telephone here.
I know, Parky.
Yes.
But while I was down there, I called the telephone company to ask them if there wasn't something they couldn't do about getting that man off our phone.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sending an inspector over right away.
Inspector? That's good. Maybe he'll be able to get him off the phone then. Oh, how do you do, sir?
Hi. My name is Reed. I'm with the telephone company.
Oh, you're the inspector.
Well, I'm really a troubleshooter.
Oh. Well, look, that man talking over there on the phone, he's my trouble, so you can please shoot him, see?
Just what is the story?
Well, he came in here 11 o'clock this morning and asked me if he could use my phone for to call up his wife, and he's been on that phone ever since. And I couldn't use my own telephone to take care of my own business.
Well, don't you worry about that. We'll get him off the phone. You know, it's a federal law to tie up a telephone like that.
I figured it
would. Yeah, I'll go over and take care of him right away.
Honey, listen to me.
Hey, you, mister.
You talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Yes, he is.
Why, Charlie!
Frank! wait a minute. Pups, who do you think just walked in? Frank.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Now I'll be able to prove it to you. Frank, how old is Bobby?
Bobby? Bobby's seven.
No, Frank, he's five.
Look,
how can
fellas.
He be seven?
Oh, no, look, Charlie. We got the washing machine 6 years ago, and they delivered Bobby before they delivered the washing machine.
Oh, my.
Now, wait a minute, Frank. What year did Stanley get out of the Marines?
Oh, look, fellas, would you...
Will you please stop interrupting a private conversation?
I know.
I'm really getting fed up with you.
Huh?
Gee, Frank, I came in here like a gentleman, and I asked this guy if I can use his phone, and he says yes.
I know.
Now he won't give me a chance to say two words without disturbing me.
He won't, huh? Well, I guess he don't know the law. Now, look here, mister. I guess you don't realize that a telephone is a public utility.
Yes,
in other words, it's meant for the public to use, especially in an emergency like this.
Lovely.
And if you think that the phone is put in here just for your use, you can get in very big trouble by trying to create a monopoly.
Huh?
That's a federal law.
I could get in trouble?
Yeah, you could get in trouble. Charlie, if you have any more difficulty with this guy, just call me up and I'll take care of him.
All right.
I gotta be running along, Charlie. I'll see you over at Danny's house tonight, eh?
Yeah, go on, Frank. Hello, Pups.
Yeah.
Frank just left and he said...
Oh, my.
Parky?
Yeah, coming right off it, Betty.
Did the inspector tell him off, Parky?
Tell him off? He told me off. Not only that, I'm liable to wind up in jail yet.
In jail for what?
I don't know, for playing Monopoly.
Parky, all of this is simply ridiculous. Do you realize that man's been on our phone for over 5 hours? Now, you go over and tell him to hang up this instant.
Look, Betty, I told him 45 times.
Well, of all the nerve tying up the telephone like this, and during our busiest time, too.
Well, what could I do, Betty? I couldn't hit him.
Well, if I were a man, I'd hit him.
Yeah, okay, I'll speak to him once more.
Oh, Bob?
Look,
yeah,
mister.
Listen.
Look, I'm done being snisting, you see. But if you could.
Will you please stop pestering me? This isn't funny anymore.
No.
Now, you heard what the inspector said, and I know my rights. I'm trying to be a nice fella. But if you keep on bothering me, I'll have to punch you right in the nose.
Punch me in the nose? You wouldn't dare lay a finger on me if Daddy Rhodes was only a man.
Hello, Pups? I know Bobby must be 5 years old because I...
Oh, my. By the time he convinces her that Bobby is five, he'll be six. Oh, look who's coming in now. That little lady from the sewing circle. Come right in, lady. Glad to see you.
Thank you.
Yes.
My, isn't it cold today?
Kind of chilly, yes.
You know, I should have worn my mink coat.
Yeah, well, why didn't you?
I haven't got one.
Well, that's about as good a reason as any, I suppose. Say, what do you got in your hand there? Is it a dog leash and a collar?
Yes, I'm just taking my dog out for a walk.
Your dog? I don't see the dog.
I know it. He was too tired, so he stayed home.
So you just took the leash and the collar after all.
Yes. But I'll need them later because, you see, I told my dog to meet me at the corner of Main and Sycamore at 4 o'clock.
You told your dog to meet you at 4 o'clock? Look, it's 4:30 now.
Oh, don't worry. He's always late for appointments.
He is, huh?
Oh, heavens, yes. I'll bet you won't believe this, but that dog is 9 years old, and he doesn't even know how to tell time.
He does. You should get yourself a watchdog.
You made a funny, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Isn't that nice?
Yes, that's nice.
That's
so. Oh, I just remembered. Yes. I knew I came in here for something terribly important. Do you mind if I use your phone? Maybe he's a congressman.
I don't think he's a congressman. You see, he used his own nickel.
Well, heavens, I certainly hope I can get to a phone soon. I have such an important call to make.
Yeah, but why don't you do what we've been doing? We've been running down to the drugstore in the corner. You use the phone down there. That is, if you got an important call.
Oh, this phone call is quite important.
You see,
I want to call the fire department. My house is on fire.
Now, look, Puffs, Bobby is my nephew, and I should know how old he is.
You're just being stubborn.
No, honey, I'm not being stubborn. You're the one who's stubborn.
I'm not.
Look, I've gone over the whole thing with you 50 times. Okay, Pups, let's go over it again, but this time I'll do it slower. Now, Bobby...
Oh, my, if I got to go listening to this man talking that foolish stuff to Pups, I'll go crazy. I'm going to turn that radio on. Maybe that'll drown him out.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we're proud to present the radio phone guessing contest. You know the rules. We select a number out of the telephone book at random, and we phone that number and ask whoever answers a simple question. If the party answering the phone knows the answer, he gets $100. Now, here's our first question. Where is the gold supply of the United States, Ken?
That's easy. Any fool knows that, even me. Fort Knox. I know that one.
Now to select our telephone number out of the book. Here we are. And the number we picked is Parkey's Restaurant, East 85513. Okay, folks, we're calling Parkey's Restaurant. Yeah. And if the person answering the phone tells us the correct answer, he wins 10 brand new crisp $10 bills. Hello, operator. I'm calling East 85513.
He's calling my number. I'll get $100 just to tell you Fort Knox. So, am I lucky? You know, this is the first time that I never won anything in my whole life.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry, folks. It's too bad. We tried to phone Parkey's Restaurant, but the line is busy.
No, it isn't. It's Fort Knox. Fort Knox.
Hey! What's the matter? You crazy or something? Hollering in my ear like that?
No. I'm trying to tell the man what it's Fort Knox.
What man? There ain't no man on this phone. I'm talking to my wife.
Yes, folks. I'm awfully sorry that Parkey's Restaurant was busy. Well, we'll have to select another number out of the telephone book. Here we are.
Oh,
Thomas Smith, 3 foot
Betty!
Betty!
Is he still on that phone, Parkey?
You don't know what just happened, Betty. The radio people called me up.
The radio people?
Yeah, they wanted to give me $100 for Fort Knox.
Give you $100 for Fort Knox?
Yes.
Parkey, are you all right? Shall I get you a glass of water?
Oh, my, Betty. If my line was done, was been busy, I would have given me $100 just for saying one word, Fort Knox.
Here you are, Parkey. Yes. Here you are. Here's your glass of water.
Oh, boy, that's just what I needed. Would you hand me that glass of water, please? My throat is getting dry talking on this phone here.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yes.
Under your spell, but how can I help it? Don't blame me. Can't you see when you do the things you do? If I can't conceal the thrill that I'm feeling. Charms if I melt in your arms, but don't blame me. If I melt in your arms, but don't blame
me. That was Betty Rose, our lovely Victor recording star, singing Don't Blame Me. Thank you, Betty. We'll be back with Parkey in just a moment. 50 cents out of every dollar you give to Red Cross today goes to provide assistance to veterans and their families living in your area. Whether it be guidance on family problems, aid in filing a claim, or an emergency loan, Red Cross knows how to care for the veterans' needs. There is no other place where disabled veterans can go for this type of assistance. A death in the family, sudden illness, a delayed pension check. Any of these things can mean serious financial trouble. Red Cross always stands by to help at a time like that. Your continued support of Red Cross will help thousands of veterans, many of them in your own community, perhaps even the boy down your street. What better reason can there be to keep on giving? So won't you give now and give gladly to the 1948 Red Cross Fund? Keep Red Cross serving all of our veterans. And Red Cross serves all of us whenever and wherever disaster strikes. Whether it be fire, flood, or earthquake, you will find Red Cross at the side of the stricken, giving food, clothing, and shelter to the helpless. So give now and give generously to your 1948 Red Cross Fund.
But, Pops, look, be honest with me.
I guess I was wrong about Bobby being 4 years.
Well, at last I convinced you that Bobby's 5 years old, huh, Pops?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that you'd finally see it my way. Yeah, he's the same age as little Shirley. She's 5'2".
Uh-huh.
Sure she's 5 foot.
No.
Look, I'll prove it to you just like I did with Bobby.
I only wish I knew where all those kids was born. I would go get all their birth certificates and bring them over and show them to Pops. Oh, my, look at this. I didn't have enough trouble. Look who's coming out, that faker, Orville Sharp.
Well, my old friend, Mr. Parker Cackus. Am I correct?
Yes, Mr. Sharp, you're corrected, yes.
Hey, see, there's somebody using the phone. Gee, yes. Want to make a couple of phone calls, too.
You do?
Yeah, it's the only reason I came over here.
Say, look, Mr. Sharp, I am getting sick and tired of people coming in there just to use my phone.
Oh, yeah?
If you want to make calls, why don't you use the phone over at your house?
Well, I don't like to use the phone over at my house.
No?
It's too old-fashioned.
Well, what do you mean it's old-fashioned?
Got to throw nickels in it.
Well, look, Mr. Sharp, if you want to use my phone, you'll have to get in line behind me because it's my turn next. I've been trying to get that man off the front for 7 hours, and I don't know how to get rid of him.
Well, now, you happen to be a very fortunate man.
How do you mean I'm fortunate?
Well, I am just the guy who can get rid of that guy for you. Uh-huh. That's my new business, you know.
You got a business getting rid of people?
Mm-hmm. Belong to a syndicate called the National Eradicator Corporation.
National Eradicator Corporation?
That's right.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, you see, when you told this fellow that he could use your phone,
yes,
you made a mistake, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, we rub out your mistakes.
You rub out my mistakes?
That's it, exactly.
I see.
Now, for just $100, yes, we will take care of this fella here under our Plan A.
Plan A? Well, what is Plan A?
Well, you see, while he's talking on the phone,
yes,
we saw away the part of the floor that he's standing on. Then he falls right through into the cellar and he lands in a barrel of cement.
A barrel of cement?
Yes, sir.
You mean?
Devotes the rest of his life to public service.
Well, what do you mean, public service?
Well, you see, in 3 weeks, he becomes a very important part of Highway 66.
Now, Mr. Sharp, I don't like that fellas, but I don't think we'd want him thrown in a barrel of cement.
No?
Besides, I certainly don't want to spend $100 just to get rid of him. I know that.
All right, okay, that's all right. Well, just take up Plan B. See, that only costs you $50.
$50?
Uh-huh, 50.
That's pretty expensive, too, isn't it?
Well, now, look, don't forget, it costs a lot of money to have people say goodbye before they're ready to leave. Besides that, Plan B is very expensive on account of the Ingrid Gradilians that we use, see?
Ingrid Gradilians?
You see, in Plan B,
yes,
the stuff that we use to get rid of this guy, mm-hmm, is the very same material that they use in their stomach bombs.
A stomach bomb? What kind of stuff do they use in their stomach bombs?
Geranium.
Geranium?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's very powerful stuff, you know.
Yes.
Knock a fella out just by hitting him over the head with just one geranium.
How could you knock out somebody by hitting him over the head with one geranium?
You don't take it out of the pot.
All right, Mr. Packer Cackus, now if you will just let me have the $50, we will proceed.
proceed immediately to eliminate this guy for you.
No, Mr. Sharp. No? I don't think I'm going to spend $50 to get rid of him. I don't think so.
Well, all right. Look, would you like to spend, say, $25?
How do you get rid of him for $25?
$25. Mm-hmm. See? We have one of our boys. He takes him up the top of a 5-mile cliff.
Yes.
See? When I get up to the top, my man pushes him off the cliff.
That costs $25.
You want to spend $10 more.
But you see, if you want to spend $10 more, we can positively guarantee the job.
What do you mean you guarantee the job?
Well, you see, for $10 more, my man jumps off with him. That's just so that he can make sure he hits bottom.
$10, man, your man jumps off a 5-mile cliff with him.
Uh-huh, yeah. See, you got to pay his traveling expenses. Get 15 cents.
No, Mr. Sharp, I don't think I want to get rid of a man that way. I mean, putting him in cement and heating him with geraniums and throwing him off cliffs, huh? I would like to get rid of him by a system that's painless.
What do you mean, painless?
I mean, paying less than $25. That's what.
All right, look, Mr. Pack Your Carcass, what's it worth you to get rid of this fella?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't figuring on spending anything, but if I could get rid of him, maybe I could spend 85, 90 cents.
What? For 90 cents, you expect me to take all the dangers and hazards of getting rid of a human being?
Yes, I do.
For 90 cents, you want me to arrange a one-way passage for a man to the happy hunting grounds?
Yes.
Brother, you don't need me.
No?
I'll tell you how you can get rid of this guy for less than 90 cents.
Really? How?
Have him eat one of your meals. Goodbye.
Yeah, buddy, we're ready to close up. It's 10 o'clock. I didn't realize it was so late. Yeah, I'll just take off my apron. We can lock up. Hand me my coat off that hook, will you please, buddy?
All right. Here you are, Parky.
Did you turn out all the lights in the kitchen?
Yes, and I locked the safe, too.
Ah, Betty, this should have been a hard day. I'm going home now and go right to bed.
Oh, me too, Parky. I'm awfully tired.
Yeah, okay, Betty, step outside so I can turn off the lights in the window here.
Okay, Parky. Turn them off. Mm. Well, good night, Parky.
Good night, Betty. Say, shall I walk you home?
Oh, no, thanks. Mary's going to meet me at the corner.
Okay, then I'll see you in the morning. Oh, my, I almost forgot. Say, we're leaving now. Good night, mister.
Hi. Yes. But listen, Pups, I know Shirley is the same age as Bobby. They're both 5 years old.
Remember, next Sunday, same time, same station, be sure to listen to the further adventures of Pocket Carcass, Betty Rhodes, Sheldon Leonard, Elliot Lewis, Harry Zimmerman, and his 19 short orders, and our big cast of Funmakers. Meet Me at Parkey's is written by Pocket Carcass and Howard Harris, and is produced by Maurice Morton. This is Art Gilmore saying goodnight. This program came from Hollywood. Stay tuned now for more laughs. The Jim Backus Comedy Show follows in just a moment.